Today's mailbag comes to us from Jen. Hi, Lisa and team. I was just in the Organize 365 community app chatting back and forth with Susan from South Australia. I live in New York. I was again thinking, wow, what an awesome community you have built. Where else can you find a group with similar goals that is so supportive and helpful? It is Sunday morning here, and I don't even know what time it is in Australia, but it is amazing that we are both trying to solve the same issues and have a resource to do it. Pretty cool. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
I'm really excited about the two podcasts that are coming after this one. One is going to be about the game of life, playing the game of life, and some different board games that I love and how I feel that those are kind of like how we play at life. And the other one is about how our homes are actually a business. They're actually the business that the entire economy of the United States runs on. And I'm going to really draw some parallels to the business that I run and the home business that I run. But before I get into those tactical to-dos, because they really have come from a lot of reflection and ahas that I've made and like, okay, this is kind of the bigger picture of where our household economy and where our household tasks and to-dos are in the greater scheme of society and the world. I want to ground us in this shorter podcast today. It's going to be shorter because I want you to play it more than one time. The day that I gave up the idea that I would be a perfectionist, I was 12. And I know that that's a really young age to realize that you cannot be a perfectionist. But when your mother is a perfectionist, you give up perfection at a younger age because you already know you're not one. And for many of us, somewhere along the lines, and maybe for you it's going to be today, you realize that there is no such thing as perfection. There isn't. The problem is we live in such a media-enriched world that we see perfect images all the time. And so our brain is like, I see the image, how do we match the image? I see the image, how do we match the image? Without us even really consciously knowing that we're doing it. It just is. And so we are fighting our brain, our eyes are seeing perfection and saying, this is the standard, this is the standard, this is the standard. And the only way to realize that perfection is not real is, number one, to realize those images are not real. And then to consciously tell your brain, I understand, subconscious, that you are seeing perfection everywhere, but it is false and it is not real and that it's not what we're trying to strive and attain. So you should know that those pictures that you're seeing on the internet are not real. Like, it's all airbrushed. There are all these filters. Oh my gosh, I was sharing this little video of Grayson and I on Instagram, and someone messaged me and they said, oh, you should do the doggy ear filter so he could see himself with doggy ears. And the thought that I had was, how do I do a filter? I do not know how to do a filter. I recognize like a year ago, like some of these people I would follow on Instagram would say, oh yeah, I'm not wearing any makeup. And I'm like, but it looks like you're wearing makeup. How does it look like you're wearing makeup? Your face is naturally makeup eyes. Like, how does your natural face have makeup on it? And then I saw at the top, like they had a filter. I'm like, well, how do I get a filter that makes like it look like I have subtle makeup on? And I couldn't even figure out how to do it. Like, I just don't even, I don't have the time. I do not. Anything you see on my Instagram, let me just tell you, it's not filtered because I don't even know how to do the filter. When I do know how to do the filter, it will be doggy ears on Grayson, and I'll probably do it every day so you can unfollow me when I learn how to do the doggy filter. I don't filter. And I think that that is refreshing. It's also way easier for me. This is why I don't have a YouTube channel. This is why I have a podcast and I don't have a YouTube channel. I was like, there is no way I'm doing my makeup and my hair every single day and getting the right sound and lighting and everything for a YouTube channel like when I started the podcast. Now, I do my hair and makeup every day and I did through the entire pandemic. But when I started the podcast in 2014, I was not doing that. But now when I'm 50 and I'm not in active parenting years, I do my hair and makeup every day, even on like Saturday mornings because I like to. Not because I'm doing a YouTube channel. Like, there was too much perfection in a YouTube channel. I was never going to be able to meet my own expectations. I just couldn't do it. So that's why I did a podcast. I have a podcast editor that edits the podcast. And if I really mess up, they take it out. But pretty much my podcasts are unedited. That's why my Instagram stories sound like my podcast sounds like meeting me in real life, because I'm not filtered. I'm just not a filtered person. So what you see is what you get. Like this, you may not like me. You wouldn't be listening to the podcast if you didn't. But also, if you like me, part of what people say they like about me is that they feel like they are me, because you get to see the real me. Like, I share the real me. I'm not a perfect person. I do only do my dishes 3 times a week. I mean, it kind of bothers me, but whatever. I just don't go in the kitchen very often. I was talking to someone and she said, you know, when you go in a grocery store, I said, no, I have not been in a grocery store in 6 years. I don't go in a grocery store. Greg tried to take me in one a year ago and I bought a plant. Like, no, I used to do it. I used to be an excellent grocery game person, cook from scratch, the whole nine yards. And now I feel like that was a foreign country and a foreign day and I just don't want to go back to it. Like, I'm not a perfectionist, but I am a woman of excellence. And you are a person of excellence also. Every single person on the planet can be a person of excellence. No one can be a perfectionist. So we just have to change what we are, how we're measuring ourselves and the benchmark that we're striving towards. So I got this great email 6 months ago. You guys, when you email me and I say I'm putting it in a pink slash bucket, I actually am. So if it is a product idea, an improvement, a podcast idea, like it gets to me, it gets put in my workbox and then I go through them. So Lisa emailed me in August of 2022 and I'm now adding it to the podcast. And she said, I came across this quote while reading an article and I immediately thought of Lisa. It goes hand in hand with the process of the Organized 365 program and results. And the quote is, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, it's a habit. And that's William Durant, The Story of Philosophy. And then Lisa goes on to say, the habit of the Organized 365 system leads us to be women of excellence, and the habit then frees our brains and time to do what we're uniquely created to do. The last part was me hearing myself talk to myself in my head after reading that quote. That's what I want. Like, I do not teach you have to organize anything in your house in a certain way. I don't teach any like end product results. My goal, my mission, my desire is to continually provide as many examples as possible of possibilities of ways in which you can take control of your life and build strong habits that set these benchmarks throughout your day where you can constantly hop out of your unconscious mind and consciously say, oh, that's right, this is what I'm choosing. And one of these is being a person of excellence versus being a perfectionist. And so I've had a long, long, long history of choosing excellence over perfection because I knew perfection was not something I could attain at a 12-year-old level. My mom literally gave me a list. Minimum expectations of Lisa Woodruff. She will be able to do these 32 things every single day. I got to number 6 and I was like, I'm out. I cannot meet my mom's expectations that she typed out on this piece of paper for me. So I can't be a perfect person. And that hurt me for decades. And now it is so freeing to me because the minute you realize you cannot meet every single expectation someone else has on you, then you finally say, well, all right, well, then I'm going to stop trying to do that. And for me, it wasn't in a like, well, if I can't do that, then I'm going to go do something completely bad for myself. For me, and I'm just such a weird person. I really am such a weird person. Like 12, 13, 14, I remember the thoughts I was having. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, well, if I cannot meet her expectations, then I'm not going to try. Because it's like whack-a-mole. Like, as soon as I do these 8 things on the list, she's going to point out number 11. So I'll do number 11. Okay, now I didn't do number 3. And I am not chasing this list for the rest of my life of what somebody else wants all of my perfectionism to be. And none of the things I wanted to do were even on this list. And my room was totally organized, by the way, you guys, because I was an organized kid. So that wasn't even one of the things on the list because I was already excelling at that. It was only the things that I wasn't excelling at. And to be honest, I don't even know what those things were anymore. And as a parent, I know exactly where that list came from. I know exactly where my mom's brain was now that I'm a parent. When she made that list for me, she regrets this list to this day. You know she does. But she was at the end of her rope. The entire house was a mess. And she was probably saying, like, you will put your dishes in the sink. You will wash your dishes. You will do it. Like, she was making a list of the things that were making her frustrated in our large household. But I was doing fine in my mini apartment and in my schoolwork and in my personal responsibilities as a 12-year-old. I was doing fine. I just wasn't probably pulling my weight in the grand house. And she was running a business from home. It was probably the holidays. And like, I know this was in the spring, so it was probably right before May, and she was probably doing some big thing. Like, I know exactly where my mom was now when she wrote that list for me. And I know where I was as a 12-year-old in spring, who also had my own exams and things to study for, and where I was in receiving that. And this is the difference between excellence and perfection. So perfection is judgment. Like, there is a yes or no, right or wrong, you did it or you didn't, and either you get the perfect mark or you don't. So I'm in the PhD program. I've been doing really well on my writings. I, like, haven't missed a single point on my writing. And on your writing, like, there's this extra 5 points you get if your paper that you write is actually new and novel and not just, like, party line for PhD. And by the way, PhD, like, this is like the highest level of schooling you could go to. Like, all of your classmates are like as smart as you could possibly be, et cetera, et cetera. And I was counseled before I went in, like, you're not going to get straight A's. And I'm like, okay, well, I never got straight A's until my last year of college. So, like, I was never a straight A student before. But now I'm like 50 and I'm putting the effort in. And my first paper back, I got 100. I was like, oh, I got the 5 extra points. Oh my gosh, I got the 5 extra points. I'm so excited. Next paper, I got the 5 extra points. In a different class, I got the 5 extra points. And then I didn't. And then I got a 95. You guys, it's an A. But I was like, why? Why didn't I get the 5 points on that paper? Then I go back, I look at it. It's like, what's different with this paper or that paper? Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm so glad. I am so glad. Because now I have already done it. I have broken the seal. Like, I'm not going to have perfect grades in PhD. I'm so glad it happened so early because perfect is not a thing. And when you're striving for perfect, you do weird things. Like, you do weird things when you're trying to get a perfect something that is being judged by someone else, right? Things you wouldn't normally do because you want somebody else to give you a perfect score, a perfect grade, an attaboy, whatever. Like, stop it. They're not even thinking about you anyway. They're thinking about their own things. Like, the most freeing thing for me is knowing that no one's really even thinking about me. You're listening to this podcast. You're not thinking about me. You are thinking about you, as you should be. So the pressure's off of me. Like, you guys, everyone should start a podcast. Nobody really cares about you. They only care about themselves anyway. You're just a conduit for them having more internal conversation. So the internal conversation you are having is whatever you are trying to get the A plus in, housework, your paper if you're going to school, the report that you're turning into your boss, the quote that you're giving your customer, whatever you're trying. someone's going to come back and say, you didn't put shipping on the quote. You didn't dot the last period on this, whatever. Like, they're going to have a comment. And there are certain people that always have a comment. Keep it to yourself. Perfection does not exist. Perfection does not exist for you giving stuff to other people. Also, perfection does not exist for people giving stuff to you. So maybe you're like, I don't know what she's talking about because I am kind of perfect. Well, then maybe you're forcing perfection on other people. That does not matter. Like, okay, if you're going to publish a book, make sure you have all the periods in there. If it's a report somebody gives to you every single week, you don't have to make the comment about the fact that they didn't have one of the periods. They're giving you a report every week. Be happy with the information. Are the numbers right? Great. Move on with your life. Perfect doesn't exist. And when you know that perfect doesn't exist, then you focus on the substance of the product that you're talking about. And you can really have much richer conversations, better solutions, shorter meetings, when you're not worried about perfection or how it looks to the other person or the outside world. Remember, they don't care. If you're not publishing the manuscript, move on. It doesn't need to be perfect. Don't clean your house to perfection, because the second you're done with one room and you start cleaning the other room, the first room will get messed up. So just clean faster, clean less often, because you'll be frustrated when the family who live in your house mess up your perfect cleaning that isn't meant to stay perfect. But we can be people of excellence. So this was took longer for me to learn. Like, I learned at 12, I wasn't going to be perfect. So I wasn't a straight A student. I wasn't a straight A student before I made this revelation. I was not a straight A student after I made this revelation. But after I made this revelation, the C I would get, I would have all A's and B's and one C, and it would be in different subjects all the time. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have a C, so it's going to be somewhere. Oh, look, it popped up in social studies this semester. Oh, it popped up here. Like, for whatever reason, I just had this floating C, and so I kind of expected it. But then it wasn't until my kids were younger. I just recorded the Marie Kondo podcast. So right about the age of Marie Kondo's kids, they were little. I was shoveling snow in a snowstorm, trying to keep my house clean. I was not a perfectionist, but also I was not a person of excellence. And what I mean by that was, I was using the fact that I was not a perfectionist as an excuse for not putting in my best effort. So that's what happens when we decide we realize, okay, I'm on board, Lisa, perfection is not a thing. So I'm not a perfectionist. So therefore, well, it doesn't matter, really. If it's not going to be published, I don't really need to put all the periods in. That is lazy. And I was that. And so my friend was over, I will never forget, and I'm sure I've shared this on the podcast numerous times because it was so indelible on me. And she had four children. And we would sit around, and her two younger ones at the time were the age of my two kids, and we would play at her house or we would play at my house, and the kids would get out all the toys, as children do. And then by the time we were done playing, she would get up and she would clean my entire room, and it already had toys out when she arrived, but when she left, every toy was put away. And I was like, well, this is pointless. We're shoveling snow in a snowstorm. Like, as soon as you walk out the door, they're pulling all these toys back out again. Like, why bother? Why bother? And I observed her at her house, and I observed her at my house. And she was always sitting there very attentive with the kids and playing with the kids. We have amazing conversations. And also, she was maintaining her home. And she would always say, I was the organized one. She wasn't the organized one, but she was the one that was in constant maintenance mode. Like, her house never got as disorganized as my house got, even though she had more family members, because she never stopped moving. When we were done having our drinks, she would take the glasses over to the sink. I didn't do that. I didn't put glasses over at the sink until I was ready to do the dishes, which could be like 2 days later. So when I do the dishes, first, I make a mental sweep of the entire house for all the glasses and dishes that are all over the entire house and put them over by the sink so you can wash them. No, not my friend. The glasses would be over by the sink, and sometimes they'd be washed before I left. And she was just maintaining her house because the amount of people, and I mentioned in a previous podcast, I don't have people at my house. She has people at her house all the time. There are people coming in and out. It's like Grand Central Station over there. And she is always monitoring and maintaining her house. She is a person of excellence. And after observing this for a while, you know, she starts picking up. Of course, I start picking up. I don't just watch her pick up the toys on the floor. Like I'm, but in my head, I started to observe my behavior when she wasn't around. Like if it was nap time, we did not clean up the toys. Even with my grandson, Grayson, when he goes to bed at night and there are toys out because he plays upstairs with us before he goes to bed, we leave the toys out for days. You cannot vacuum in my house unless it is vacuuming day, because to me, it's kind of pointless to put all the toys back. He's going to pull them all back out again. Like, that's a waste of minutes, but not for my friend. Like, she was like, we reestablish order. We reestablish order. We reestablish order. And to me, that can be a person of excellence. Like, she is a person who picks up after herself, no matter where she is and at the end of everything. Like, that is an excellence habit. I know that's a habit, and I purposely, when the child is under the age of five, I'm like, yep, and that's a habit that we'll have after Grayson turns five. And sometimes we have that habit on the first floor of the house because that's where grandma and grandpa lives. But I know when I go down the basement, Abby has adopted my habit of the toys will stay out until I can't stand it anymore, and then the toys will go back away. So there is some decision making in. Just because you're a person of excellence doesn't mean that you do everything all the time, but they are habits that you do. And habits, let's talk about habits. Habits are so purposeful. I mean, habits obviously happen naturally, and negative habits happen naturally, but positive habits rarely happen naturally. You must be purposeful about habits, but be careful not to have perfectionistic habits. Habits should be for excellence, not for perfectionism. And so a way to kind of tell if you are moving more towards perfectionism or excellence is, what is your ultimate aim? So my ultimate aim in any habits that I create or any routines that I establish or anything that I do is I want continual improvement. And this was probably the third realization I had. So the first realization was perfection is not a thing. The second realization was that excellence is a thing and that I should strive for excellence. And the third realization that I've just made very recently is I'm never going to be done. I'm never going to be done. If you have a perfectionistic mentality, you want to get something to perfect so that you could be done, so that you don't have to do it again. That's not a thing. If you're a person of excellence, you do as good of work as possible within a certain time frame, and then you move on. And now this third level is that we're never going to be done. There is going to be more time. We have been fed this lie that there's not enough time. There's not enough. Like the scarcity of the media. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. There's not enough people. There's not enough resources. There's not. Yes, there is. Stop it. There is. There's plenty. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of resources. There are plenty of people. There's plenty to go around. There's plenty. We have plenty. And when you start to realize that, oh, we don't have to hoard for ourselves and grab for ourselves and get for, like, no, there's plenty. You know what? We never ran out of toilet paper in the United States. We just had it in the wrong delivery mechanism. During the pandemic, the reason you couldn't find toilet paper was because there was plenty of toilet paper. It was just on really large rolls that would have been at stadiums and schools and businesses in the big dispensers. It wasn't on small home consumer rolls. But there was always plenty. It was just wasn't distributed correctly. There was never a shortage. There was a shortage of distribution. The same thing happened in alcohol. Like, there was never a shortage of beer. There was a shortage of home-based beer cans, because beer was also in kegs and liters and all. And I know these things because these industries are in Cincinnati. So I've talked to, you know, Coors Brewery and P&G. And like, I know people who work there. And they're like, no, we never had a shortage. It just wasn't in the right consumption size for everyone at home versus everyone also in stadiums and universities and schools and businesses and the other places where you would have consumed these same exact items. We worry so much, don't we? We worry so much, and we worry about yesterday and today, yesterday and today, yesterday and today. When you change your time horizon and you make it 120 days. Like, what does our family need for 120 days? Everything is different. That's why I love the 120-day time horizon. There are three seasons per year in your house, and you need different things in those seasons. And so a person of excellence is continually improving and continually pivoting. Whereas a perfectionist mentality is trying to get to a final destination so we could say we have arrived. Well, good luck doing that at home, because it's just always changing. You finally got through the holiday seasons in December? Great. The spring ones are right around the corner. You finally got your closet totally organized? Great. Time to go do the storage room. Like, I mean, there's just always more to do. So this idea of excellence is like, I'm not trying to get it all done. I'm just trying to do whatever I'm doing with the best of my ability at this time with the resources I have and move on to the next. Excellence gives you an accomplished feeling of a job well done. Like when you are done organizing your closet, I know you've had this experience. You get your closet organized and you step back and you go, man, that's great. And no one's ever going to see it. That's when you know that you have really moved into excellence versus perfection, because you can look at what you have done that only you will see and say, I did a great job. I think the other place that we see this is in our kitchen. Like, you know, when you decide to clean out the silverware drawer and really clean it out, like you took everything out and you got out the vacuum attachment. So you vacuumed out all the crumbs. I don't know how they get in there. And then you got the wet paper towel and you also wiped out the drawer. And then you put everything back in and you actually lined up all the spoons and the forks so that they're all nested together. And it looks like a magazine for like 5 seconds. And you go, man, that's great. And you know you're to excellence over perfection when you close that silverware drawer and know that when you open it again, the little spoons are not going to be sleeping together. They're going to be all messed up in that drawer because a family member got in there. And you're still happy with the silverware drawer. If you open the silverware drawer and someone in your family has taken out a spoon and knocked over your perfect spoon, sleeping spoon's sleeve, and you're angry, you might still be in perfectionism. Because you wanted to open that drawer and you wanted to see that perfect picture. That's not reality. It's still clean. It's still organized. It's still excellent. And you're living there. It's not a museum. It's such a, oh my gosh, when you get fully to excellence out of perfectionism, it is so freeing. It is so freeing. Because when those spoons topple over, and you know exactly who toppled over those spoons, in your mind, you are judging. And when you can open that drawer and you stop having that emotion and that feeling, you also stop judging yourself. And that is the most freeing thing. We judge ourselves mercilessly. We judge ourselves morning, noon, and night. Constantly. It's just constant. Not meeting our own expectation. Not meeting our own expectation. Not meeting our own expectation. Stop it. Stop it. Nobody else is doing that. And it's exhausting. And you're never going to get to the point where, yep, I did everything perfect today. You're just not going to get to it. So because it's not a thing, but it's still perpetrated in the media, you think it's something that, well, maybe when I get my whole house organized, then, even though I know it's not a thing, I could kind of live in perfection. No, it's not a thing. But you could totally be a person of excellence. And a person of excellence has great habits and they're continually improving and they have feelings of accomplishment and well done in the things that they are doing. And they have a cadence and a flow that their life just tends to go in, and they don't judge themselves and they don't judge others. And they are so much fun to be around because they are high caliber people. They are excellent, excellent people. But they are not, I don't even know what the word is, but you know. Like, you know when you're around, you could be around two people of equal caliber who are at the top of their field. And one is a perfectionist, and one is a person of excellence, and a person of excellence you want to go out to dinner with and talk to all night, and the perfectionist you feel like awe-inspired that you got to meet them. But moving on, they're not someone you're going to want to go out to dinner with. There's a difference. And you are a person of excellence. You will never arrive. There is no such thing as perfect, but you are a person of excellence. And I wanted to record this podcast first because I want to now go into what is the game of life? Let's talk about the actual game of life that I now realize as a 50-year-old woman. And there are a lot of things that I'm observing now that I did not realize were going on when I was a pawn in the game. And then I want to talk about how your home is actually a business.